Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here, as always.
Hey guys.
And today we have a treat for you. It is the 2013 Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie.
Yeah.
The World's End.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the loose trilogy from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Nothing to do with each other per se,
but the same, like, same basic characters
cast and all that and stuff. Cast, yeah. Anyway, Sam, do you want to give us the synopsis of The World's End before move on?
So Simon Pegg plays a character named Gary King, and he and his it starts off with a flashback. So he and his friends, when they finished, I guess, primary school. So like they are high school.
That's
Yeah. They get out of high school just a little bit later because they have more schooling. But they got out and they decide to do this pub crawl that goes through 12 of the bars in their hometown of,
was it New Haven?
New Newton. Yeah, whatever. Newtown.
New Haven.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't remember.
I can't either. It's not memorable. No. They went through the 12. They were supposed to go through the 12, but they didn't all end up making it, and they basically stopped after, like, the 6th or 7th one.
Right.
Because some of them got, you know, too drunk and got sick, or, like, people got lost, and they did a bunch of dumb, stupid stuff. So, it's 20 years later. The world is in 2013.
Yes.
And, basically, Gary King...
23 years later, to be exact.
Is it?
They graduated in 1990.
Oh, wow, okay. It's just at 20 here. So I'm just reading a little
bit. They're fucking lying to you, Sam.
IMDb is a fucking liar. Gary King is basically an alcoholic and a drunkard and is not in a good place. And he decides to commemorate the World's End pub crawl thing. He goes and tries to find all of his old schoolmates and friends so that they could do the pub crawl together and do it right this time and complete it. Unfortunately for Gary, his friends are all professionals. Like, one is an attorney, which is Nick Frost.
Yeah.
One is, like, a realtor. There's, like, a construction guy.
Car salesman. What was the architect?
Architect. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then a car salesman, like a good, you know, at a high-end Audi dealership.
Yeah. He's, like, partner at that.
Shout-outs to Audi. Regardless, he, you know, convinces all of his friends to come together. They get together. They start the pub crawl. And then some weird stuff happens, and they meet some robots, which might not be robots. What are they call them? Blanks, right?
Yeah, I mean that's like the running gag in the movie.
Yeah. There were some robot like things, and there's like a greater issue afoot beyond just completing the pub crawl.
Right, and this kind of goes along with the Shaun of the Dead thing with, like, Shaun of the Dead is like, okay, here we go. We have a problem with zombies. Hot Fuzz, okay, here we go. We have people who may be in a cult in this small town.
Okay.
And then here we are, people who may be robots / alien life forms in a small town.
Yeah. And so the movie kind of follows them through their adventure and going through all the pubs and fighting these monsters.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys recognize Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from just kind of like, it's always like these two guys kind of like getting in trouble and trying to get out of it. Kind of like they were in that alien one called Paul.
I heard that wasn't very good.
It wasn't bad. It was so-so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Our sound engineer, Mr. J. Says it was just okay.
Yeah.
I saw it on a plane, so I mean, judge what you will out of that.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least, you know, American Airlines is making bank off of it.
Yeah.
That's why they're coming to get on the flights.
Sure. So, anyway, let's talk about things. It's definitely a comedy. It's a British comedy. When we were watching in the theater, I felt weird because
there's
a group of four people with us, right?
Yeah, there were four of us.
Yeah. Four of us, and the group of people that we're with are all cool people.
Yeah. I'd like to think so.
Yeah. And we're there and we're laughing, and sometimes when we're laughing our asses off, no one else in the theater was.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Which is weird. Maybe it took a little bit out of it that no one else was laughing with us.
Yeah.
We're, like, surrounded by retards.
Oh, hey, they're conservatives.
Well, I was thinking, I was surprised, like, when I see that many people in a theater like this on a Friday afternoon. Like,
it was a pretty big crowd. This wasn't its opening weekend, though, was it?
This was, but did you think that time?
It was?
Like, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you think that this town would want like I didn't think it'd be this many people on a 4 o'clock on a. In this town.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. We went to the earlier showing because we're old farts and go to bed at. Like
and we
nine.
got a matinee price. Kind yeah. Of. Yeah. Anyway, but we went to go see it, and I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people here. I thought we're gonna be like one of three groups in there, right?
Yeah, I didn't expect there to be so many people.
And so if you think like there's so many people here, they're in on that joke. They're really into like this type of humor.
Yeah, maybe they've seen Shaun of the Dead and Hostiles and really
enjoyed
it.
There's lots of punnery.
Yeah,
involved
a lot of dumb puns.
But it's funny. I thought it was funny. The Antiques Roadshow thing was probably my favorite bit in the first like 20 minutes of the movie.
That was pretty good.
You know, and it's is deadpan the right term for some of this stuff? I don't know.
I would say some of it, some but of not it. All of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and a lot
the stuff with Gary, like the stuff with Simon Pegg's character. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. But not so much everybody.
And it's the humor, the banter is quick and
it's witty.
It's witty, as witty as like a mainstream
British
film
could be.
Can be because it's witty, but not really.
Yeah,
super witty.
Doesn't push the limits too much.
No, no, no. But You know, there's some things. Have you seen some of the jokes in the trailer?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it already, but
yeah,
you should go check it out. But favorite things about it? Why don't you hit us up with your favorite? Since it was a group,
yeah.
What about your favorite member of the posse, and why? And then your favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, okay. Because it's an ensemble group. Okay. Yeah. My favorite member of the posse would be I can't remember his name, but he is.
What was his profession?
Man, he's.
I like the car salesman Peter.
Yeah, not Watson from BBC Sherlock.
Oh yeah,
not that guy. I liked him. He was cool, but not.
He had
him.
A good. He had an interesting role.
I like the dude who like would always hide at everything.
Yeah, isn't that Peter? I think
Peter.
That's
yeah, that's the
Peter
that's
Dinklage.
The, yeah, that's
right?
The character's name. Let me get the actor's name because he's in some stuff that I like. His name is it's Peter Page.
Where'd I get Dinklage from?
I don't know, but he was.
Oh, God damn it, you're so right. Oh, nice.
Jeremy filling us in.
Jeremy helping us out.
The reason as to why we were confusing Dinklage with
Got it,
Paige.
Confusing Game of Thrones.
Yeah. He was in Sherlock Holmes, V for Vendetta, The Illusionist, and Hancock, and like a bunch of other. He's in a lot of stuff.
He's
so.
In a lot. Like
yeah,
this
he's
guy.
He's doing good.
Yeah.
His name, the actor's name is Eddie Marson. But he was my favorite of the entourage.
He was mine, too.
Just because he kept hiding, and then when he finally did freak the fuck out, like, it was cool.
And his goofy faces. Maybe just his regular face.
Yeah,
but
he has good expressions.
But when they
his
do
face
the
has
Antiques
character.
Roadshow pun, and they go on his face, I think that's when everyone starts laughing.
Yeah, because he has a pretty great,
a
pretty great reaction.
Uh-huh. And favorite scene and what you liked about the movie?
My favorite scene.
Does it go along with when Peter loses his shit?
No. My favorite scene would probably be the big giant like sculpture thing when it's walking around, just because it looked really goofy.
Okay.
And like silly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like that part. Like that entire chase scene when they're being chased by everyone.
Right.
And they're not even going to the world's end at that point. It's like the second to last one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then I drive the car into it, and then the big monster guy
mm-hmm.
picks him up. I like that stuff. That was cool.
Sure.
And then what was my other favorite thing? Was that it?
Favorite thing they did in general, like the overall like grand scheme of things.
Oh, I like the just the dialogue is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's kind of commonplace for like a British kind of black humor, dark humor kind of movie, I just liked it. I thought it was good.
You thought it was dark humor or black humor?
With the deadpan stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess some of it was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? What was your favorite ensemble member?
Peter's my guy.
Okay, yeah. He was cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we missing any other cool people in the entourage, you think? Jeremy says they're all good.
Jeremy likes all of them.
Jeremy likes all of them.
He's an egalitarian.
Okay.
Oh, he likes Nick Frost.
Jeremy likes Nick Frost.
Probably because he goes through the greatest change of being like really buttoned down, Mr. I don't even drink alcohol, to let me do six shots and go crazy.
That part was funny.
That was cool.
That scene where like, all right,
I like that too. Yeah,
that
was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You
knew it was coming, but they did it in a really cool way.
Yeah, and I think if you've watched the other two movies, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
This could be. I'll just turn this into a positive thing. My laundry is done. I'll turn the so when you look at like how the trajectory of the first two movies, it pretty much the same way with the third movie, right? It takes them a while to figure out something.
Yeah, the pacing is pretty similar.
And then once they find out something's going on, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's cool. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, well, lightning struck twice. Could it possibly strike a third time?
Thrice.
And,
like
yeah.
The band.
Yeah. Ooh, the band. could it possibly strike a third time? And it did to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You're familiar with how the story's going to play out, but it's still interesting enough. And when you're sitting there watching it, you really do enjoy the chemistry between all the mates.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. They, mm-hmm. yeah, like you can really tell that Edgar Wright, that's the director's name.
Yeah,
Edgar Wright really likes using this cast because it seems as though they're all really familiar with one another and probably friends.
Yeah,
in real life.
Well, I know
they're very chummy. So,
like Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, and Edgar Wright worked with each other on that BBC show called Space, which I've never.
Oh yeah,
seen.
You were telling me about that.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This was even before Shaun of the Dead, right?
This was way before Shaun of
yeah.
the Dead. Or like maybe like they finished Space and then they went and made Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
But this Space show was the precursor to all their success.
Yeah.
And so like that happened, and there that's why there's kind of like the three. Paul wasn't directed by Edgar Wright at all.
Okay.
It was written by I think it was written by Seth Rogen. Hence you get the name. Hence you got Paul Rogen,
Seth Rogen
to be in that movie, right?
Yeah.
But it, also like Nick Frost also did. Who directed Paul? By the way, do you remember?
Greg Mottola.
Yep. But is it written by?
It's
Simon
written
Pegg?
By Simon Pegg and
Nick Frost.
Nick Frost.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, anyway, that thing happens and they kind of burst out and get really popular with that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's why they have such good chemistry is because they've been working together for so many years.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And like, I think this type of movie needs that sort of friendship and camaraderie between actors
yeah.
who are really into their subject matter.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And are just
especially
as nerdy.
The director
as
knows what they can do.
Yeah.
The actors Simon Pegg and Nick Frost also work together. They did Paul. I think they also worked together on Run Fat Boy Run.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Nick Frost is in that one as well, but I don't know for sure. But they get along great, and you can tell like there's good chemistry between them and whatnot. Chemistry is my favorite thing about it, probably.
Yeah, you can really tell that like the
yes.
dudes are really, really into it.
Yeah, yeah,
really,
yeah.
Really into it.
But I'll move on to like the bad part, which was like a really... It was rough for me.
I think we have the same thing.
We do, but I'll talk about like. And so, how about you go first because mine goes further back. I think so. I'll let you go first with the
okay.
thing that you didn't like.
So the main thing I didn't like, I guess this is a spoiler alert, but whatever. It's not that big of a deal because really, this type of movie you can't really spoil. It's more of just the fun of what goes on than the silly gag.
Yeah, you guys already know the trajectory.
Yeah.
So,
The big turn that kind of happens at the end, which kind of ruined it for me, is they get to the world's end, which is fine. And then they pull this lever, and they basically go down into the ground, and you find out that all of the robot things are basically like a intergalactic species kind of like getting along program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they remove and reprogram humans that won't get along and play nice. And... the big robot thing that does it all is just, it's kind of like a really lame Deus Ex Machina thing. And like, it kind of completely changes the pace of the movie where everything's
yeah.
kind of like fun antics into now let me be preachy for a good 20 minutes.
Right.
And like, I get what they're going for politically and stuff, but it's kind of like, it's not executed really well.
No.
And it doesn't add anything to the movie. If anything, it takes away a lot of the cool momentum they could have built and used in a better way.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's like an aftermath after that aftermath. Because like, you know, the robots are all, you know, upset. And then Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, like, you know, stand up to them and give them the finger or whatever. And they escape the city. There's a point where they get to like a hill and they look back at the city. It's all in flames and stuff. That would have been a good ending for the movie. But instead, they spend another like 10, 12 minutes discussing like the aftermath of their actions. And it's really something I didn't care about or ask to see. I could have imagined that. Like the end of Akira was really good because everything is messed up. And then the movie just ends. And it's poignant because it kind of allows the viewer and it respects the viewer's intelligence enough to be like, okay, they can think up what's going to happen next. Instead, this kind of just tells you.
Well, even with the Akira one, though, that totally fits the tone.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It fits.
Yeah, and like this was just kind of like, now let me tell you what's going on because you're an idiot and because you might think something else might have happened.
Exactly.
So, like, that was completely not necessary. Mm-hmm. And that dropped, yeah, that was very bad at the end.
Right.
But what about you, Andy?
I know. That's basically the same thing. There's bits and pieces of it throughout the movie where it's like, it's like comic book boys and like they'd be like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It was kind of like fan service in the worst possible way. Yeah. Fan service for the lowest common denominator of comic book and like and that's nerdy the thing. Fan
it got really
culture
toys. When it got preachy, there was lots of things that made it like really bad. I thought so. Like when yeah. you do the. When they talk to the aliens and like, no, you know, blah, 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 you know, we're humans.
Oh, with Pierce Brosnan?
Oh, you know, actually, I did like Pierce Brosnan there.
Not that he was bad, but like the stuff that he kept saying.
Oh, yeah, stuff that he says or like, but like Pierce Brosnan and also the use of Timothy Dalton in Hot Fuzz, I like how they keep on using ex-Bond guys in there.
Yeah.
Ex-James Bond. I actually, when I was really young, Timothy Dalton was my favorite James Bond guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Pierce Brosnan's still my favorite.
Pierce Brosnan's great.
No, he's not. He's terrible. Great. He's terrible.
He is good.
He's garbage.
He was awesome in this one, too. I thought it was funny.
Well, no, in the movie, he's good, but as Bond, he's garbage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially, like, the last two Bonds he was in.
What was that? To Live and Let Die? Was that him?
No, not to live and let die.
Another day.
No, Live and Let Die is the Roger Moore one thinking of.
The really recent one that has Die in the name. And, like, driving on an iceberg with a car flipping itself over and stuff.
Well, didn't he do the one after that with Halle Berry?
Yeah.
I didn't know
what they're called. I mix up the names, but I don't like them.
I think he's done four. Four Bond
terrible
ones.
For Bond. Not that Bond is, you know, in a great... He's not, like, an esteemed...
Yeah, it's not... You don't go there for the substance.
Yeah.
Anyway, it gets a little preachy, and it was, like, really fucking dumb. That's what I hated about it, is, like, you guys do, like, witty banter back and forth, and then you're going to give me this lame fucking message about, like, this is what makes humanity great. Like, we're all different. Like, fuck you, right? Like, that's stupid.
That was really, it was sort of lazy,
and
too.
And these guys are fun to watch, but they're not the best actors in the world.
No.
So when they're delivering these lines towards the end of the movie, it's like, you guys
it's pretty robotic.
It looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, the acting is, and it's not their strong suit, any type of serious. So the goofy, like... Like over
they really
the
need the ensemble to be together to allow these things to play
and
out.
There are much better guys in the ensemble.
Yeah,
Like Peter probably would have done a better job acting and doing these lines than the two main guys, right?
Probably, yeah.
And a lot of like finger pointing, like to the aliens, like we're badass, like this is get off our planet. And then you could imagine like all like the little comic boys being like, oh, this is amazing, I love it. No,
that's
right?
A voice.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah. And so like
they're old now, but they still got that.
It's one of those things, man, where they
wasted a lot of momentum.
Yeah,
and yeah, that
and it was like a moment. It wasn't even like momentum is totally lost. You hit a brick wall.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why are you doing this? This wasn't. No, don't do that.
And then
don't
the
do
ending
that.
After the ending made it even worse.
That was really bad. It's like all of humanity is boned now, but you know we got a shack.
Yeah. What? They and the question is never. You never beg the question. What happens at the end of this? It's just like, especially with Hot Fuzz or like Shaun of the Dead, it just ends like, oh, we finished our adventure.
Yeah, and you can see, like, they have, like, little hints, like, at the end of Shaun of the Dead whenever Nick Frost is, like, a zombie pet for Simon Pegg.
Sure.
Yeah, like, that's funny. Do that. That's cool. But don't do a thing where you have Nick Frost explain to a bunch of, like, disheveled, post-apocalyptic little kids about what happened to all of the members.
And then Simon Pegg's character
at the
end just doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense because, like, I thought his entire point was to be rebellious, and then he teams up with the remnants of the robot people. I guess they're sort of rebellious,
which didn't make any sense anyway.
Yeah,
like,
and
why would you take these
guys? And he's dressed
in
as like some lame form of gun.
He looks like
a
Future Trunks with a hat.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That was really
stupid.
Terrible.
And the best part is like you have three grown men who are like, and the coolest part is you're gonna be dressed like this and you're gonna look like a badass.
Yeah,
and that's what they're going for, but no one is like. And if you're anyone like us, we're not nowhere near any like the comic book thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying like we're jaded about this stuff, but it's like, don't be fucking lame. Like, that's lame.
That was pretty
lame.
That was pretty dumb.
It's very uncool.
Yeah,
like, even if you're dressed like that.
Yeah, it kind of went down to like the venue of like talking down to the audience that like the WWE is known for. Except when they're doing it tongue in cheek and making mm-hmm. it so goofy, you know?
Yeah.
This could have made it really goofy, but instead they got really preachy and serious.
And then they're like, isn't it cool that he's going to be like a
gunslinger?
Weird Western? Yeah. It was lame.
He's like Trigun or something. It's like, no, that was really stupid.
Yeah. And Trigun is way better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was... it went to a screeching halt.
Yeah, that was. I don't think we've reviewed a movie that had such a huge just like stop point.
Yeah,
with respect to the momentum, like I can't think of anything where I was just like, "Wow, now it's a terrible movie."
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, cool. Like on like a scale of 1 to 10, Sam, what would you like to give it? And once you compare it, I know you've only seen Shaun of the Dead and not Hot Fuzz, but you're the difference between Hot Fuzz and something like this. Shaun of the Dead and something like this.
Well, if the movie didn't end in that manner, it would have been like maybe equal to Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
It's really fun and happy. But since they ended it that way, that dropped it down quite a bit. So
yeah.
I didn't like it as much. What about you, Andy?
I thought... Like, between the three, I was excited when I was watching, like, the first half hour. I was like, oh, you know what? Like, it's not, like, ha-ha-ha-ha funny.
Yeah. It's a clever.
I do like it.
Yeah.
I was liking it. And I was like, this could be definitely, it had the potential to be the number one of the three for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And I really like Hot Fuzz. I like Shaun of the Dead, too, but Hot Fuzz is a little more, I'm not, like, a Mr. Zombie type of guy.
I hate zombies.
Hot Fuzz was kind of cool just because it's like, okay, it's not zombies or aliens. It's people joining a cult, which, I mean, it's...
It's fun.
It's
like
fun.
The village.
Yeah. Right? And the ending was bullshit, though. That's what fucked it up.
Yeah.
And it fucked it up entirely for me because it's like, it was just the biggest, it was weak because I think what these guys do so well is what, and they're aware of what they do so well.
Yeah, it's almost like they completely switched to a mainstream ending and
tone. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. But it's like one of those things where it's like, they know their weaknesses and they know their strengths, but this time they were like, they went out there and took a gamble and it didn't work for me.
Yeah,
and I don't.
Me
it
either.
Definitely didn't work for you.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, when we went to go see it on Friday, was a 93. It is now a 91 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so it's still pretty good. It's not going to.
It's still really fresh.
It's not going
to
go down.
81% of the audience liked it, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's the
IMDb
same.
Has it at a 7.7.
Yeah.
And I'm more akin to the 7.7 than I am to the 91%.
Okay, so what are you giving it out of a 10?
You go first. It's always your turn.
Okay.
I'm lost without your guidance.
Well, I would probably give this a kind of a weaker 7. A 7, but a pretty... It's like on the edge of a 7 and a 6.5.
Right.
Because... Yeah, I did like it. I thought it was really cool and fun and clever and like very witty. But once that ending part hit, and then it was basically like, you know, like a horse race or something.
Yeah.
And then someone decides to shoot the horse in the throat, and then like have it still finish the race by having the jockey drag it across the finish line.
It's stumbling all the way down there.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was really bad.
It was a bummer.
So I really dislike that part, but
it's like, how did you guys do this to me?
Yeah, but I would recommend to watch it just because it's cool for the first, you know, up to the ending point.
Oh, yeah, and if you think about most comedies, really, like, the first 45 minutes, you're laughing, and then, like, you have to, like, kind of peter out with the story and kind of have an ending to most mainstream comedies anyway.
Yeah.
So with this, I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, it's better than most average stuff you get. I'd say it's definitely better than average, but it's one of those things where it's, like, 91% fresh, 93% fresh, you're thinking, wow.
This has got to be
awesome.
This is
going to be funny. We're going to be laughing all the way through. And it's like, no, we were like bored the last 20 minutes because you guys are giving us this really lame fanboy ending.
Yeah, that was not good.
And then the ending after the ending, right? So
that
it was just
really
it was
bad.
Like really terrible acting on their part.
Yeah.
Which took everything out of the viewing experience for me.
Yeah.
That being said, the first bit of the movie is very good.
Yeah, it's cool.
So you're just going to have to... bear with it.
Yeah. So what are you giving it out of a 10?
What did you give it?
I gave it like a really weak 7.
Oh, you gave it a weak 7.
Maybe like a 6.75 if you had to press me.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go. Jeremy said he would give it an 8.
Yeah.
Which is solid because that's pretty much the average right now, I would say.
Yeah, that's 7.7 rounds up to an 8.
The ending for me was really bad. I'm going to go with a 6.5.
6.5, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense because I enjoyed Charade, and that was my 6.5. That's my benchmark, 6.5.
Okay.
This one is good. It's just the ending was terrible.
Yeah.
So it's between a 6.5 and a 7 for me. So maybe that'll average out to what you give it. But like on a good day, I'll be like, oh, it was like definitely a watch. And it is a watch.
Yeah,
but
it's fun.
I think to say someone's like, it's 91% fresh, they'd be lying to you. Like, it shouldn't be a 91.
Yeah, no, I would have imagined if like I'd seen it and then I looked at Rotten Tomatoes later, I would have been expecting maybe like around a like 72%.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
like a 68%, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, borderline fresh.
Yeah.
Which I think that's what it is. These guys got lucky with a thing where it's like everyone thought it was borderline fresh, so it makes it look like you're super fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no disagreeing that things are funny in there.
Yeah. There's some funny stuff.
There are some funny stuff in there.
Yeah.
In there. So like I would say it's worth a watch, even though it's a 6.5 from me. What about you?
6.75. I mean, yeah, it's worth a watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a weak recommendation.
It's mostly because of the ending. You know what? If you were to watch the movie on Netflix or
like
rent the DVD or something, and then like you just stop the movie after they're at the hill, it would probably be like, you know, a 7.
And that's where you expect
like
a much stronger. I'd probably give it a 7.5. I'd give it a full point higher.
Yeah, it would probably bump it up to like a 7.5. But like, don't watch it after they get on the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, that especially.
And like it's a really it's like a big scene. It's not like, oh, they're just gone on a hill for 10 seconds. It's not like that. Like they stop and they wait and then they're like, oh man, everything is really screwed up.
I was going to wait for the fade to black.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for too.
But they actually did fade to black and then fade to a new scene.
Yeah.
I'd say give it a watch if you've seen the first two. If you like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost,
you'll like this one. Yeah.
You know, I thought it was good. Another thing that I thought was a little out of place, again, it's like the fanboy. I think Edgar Wright is a total fanboy because he likes Scott Pilgrim and that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
The fighting in the bathroom scenes, like while it's fun to watch and everything, it just like seems so out of place because these guys would never know how to fight like this. In general.
Yeah, but they're superheroes in disguise and blah,
right?
blah, blah,
that's,
blah.
That's not like a minor... That's a minor gripe for me, but it did take it out of there.
It was a little weird.
I would expect like some clumsy bar fighting.
Yeah.
Or just like people just using their fists.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of like the martial arts swipes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But
being coordinated.
Yeah. But overall, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Matinee, I'd say. Go see it. I wouldn't spend a full price to go see it.
I wouldn't either.
Maybe wait until you rent it.
Or if it's on Google Play, one of those things you can watch with a bunch of people.
We're learning to love Google Play more and more.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was a good matinee experience.
Yeah, same.
All right.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Give us your thoughts on what you thought about The World's End or, you know, Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead, because they're all pretty similar films. If you're a Simon Pegg fan, if you're not. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate you listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.